Welcome to the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. We are so excited to welcome you on this journey to amplify your impact, skyrocket your business, and change lives through the power of your unique story. Be sure to listen to the daily prayer along with the speaker sessions and participate in the daily challenge to receive not just inspiring information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't forget to download the free gifts provided by each speaker, which is an opportunity to go deeper on what they shared. Enjoy this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this session of the Power of Your Story Summit. And I'm excited to introduce our guest speaker. And before I introduce our guest speaker, I have to tell the backstory. Before we even hit the record button, we were talking about it, but I wanted to make sure I shared with the audience and all the listeners for this summit that Sarah was actually an attendee of my very first virtual summit. So the very first virtual summit that I did in 2021, which was called Power of Your Voice, Sarah was an attendee of that, and then also went on to be my client, a colleague, and a dear friend. And here it is, 5 years later, and now she is a speaker on the Power of Your Story Summit. So I'm super excited to have this conversation with Sarah Box. As I mentioned, she is not only a client, but a colleague and a dear friend. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. So welcome to the summit, Sarah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Nadine. I can't believe it's been 5 years. Exactly. It's like amazing to me. I would have guessed maybe three.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, exactly. 5 years. So I'm excited. So I want to share a little bit more with you guys about Sarah. Sarah Box is a strategist, a coach, and lifelong learner with over 35 years of experience helping leaders and organizations rise, navigate change, and align their actions with clarity and purpose. As CEO of Sarah Box LLC, she has led more than 165 projects across nonprofits, corporate, and public sectors, and is known as a strategic spark plug. I love that. She listens beneath the noise to what really matters. As a certified Enneagram coach and an exchange certified facilitator, Sarah is also the best-selling author of The Changemaker Ripple Effect and host of two podcasts, No Labels, No Limits, and Nonprofits Today. She believes storytelling is one of the most powerful tools leaders have to build credibility, foster authenticity, authentic connection, and clearly distinguish their organization's unique value in a landscape crowded with other important causes, ultimately attracting the trust and support of communities, funders, and partners. And that's exactly why she is a speaker on the Power of Your Story Summit, because of her belief in storytelling. So officially welcome to the Power of Your Story Summit, Sarah.
Thank you for that introduction, Nadine. Boy, 35 years, and wow, that's a long time.
It's wisdom and experience all wrapped up in that 35 years. It's definitely the wisdom and experience. So we definitely appreciate that. Exactly. So I always love to start off these sessions with fun facts, right? We heard how amazing you are. I also talked about how amazing you are. But people may not know certain things about you, and it could even be fun facts. And it's always good to be able to share those things because people sometimes resonate with that, right? So I'd love for you to start off by just sharing a fun fact about yourself.
Okay, so a fun fact for me is I'm not a fun person. No, I'm joking. I'm an Enneagram 5 strong, so I'm very analytical and literal. So when people tell me jokes, I'm the person who goes, I pause. And then I'm going, are they serious? And then my husband will go, it's a joke, honey. The consequence of that is I will say things and people will laugh and I won't get that it was funny. So, but I do love laughing. So that's it's fun.
Yeah, but it's I was going to say,
I'm looking for the data. I'm thinking people are serious.
Yeah, I love that. But as you were saying that, I thought, well, a fun fact is she's funny, right? She's actually funny. So there you go, right?
I can be.
You can be, for sure, for sure. So as I mentioned, this summit is all about the power of your story. So I want to start off by really getting your thoughts, your feelings, and your opinion on someone's story being powerful. Why is your story powerful? What are your thoughts on why your story is even powerful? Why even create an entire summit about the power of your story? Why do you think it's important?
Well, so many reasons, but number one, especially in the nonprofit sector, and I will say many of my thoughts apply in the for-profit as well. But in the nonprofit sector, you are basically trying to build trust, confidence in your organization, both for the people you're serving or the communities you're serving, as well as donors, people you want to volunteer. So if they don't know about you, and they don't know a heart story about you, right? You're just out there swimming in the sea of all the other nonprofits. And, you know, there's a lot of them. There's over 1.5 million currently in the States, in the U.S. alone. So that's a lot. And not all of them survive, you know. So it's really, you know, the whole point of a story isn't to out tell somebody or to boast so much, but it's to let people see and know you, your organization, your values and how you serve your community, and what it's like to work alongside you, because your employees and your staff also need to know and embrace your story, as does your board. So having a clear story, little bitty story, story bites, those are the kind of things that help build culture and engage people over time. And ultimately, the best of them is when other people start telling your story for you.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you said your heart story, right? So it's not just any story, but the heart of the matter, what is the heart of your organization, whether it's a for-profit or nonprofit, and really sharing that heart with other people is so important, because it really does set, like you said, the culture, the values, so much is in that heart story of your business or your nonprofit. So in this particular session, we're specifically talking about the art of storytelling. We have other sessions, share your story, monetize your story, but this session and these speakers are really focusing on the art of storytelling. Why do you think there is an art to telling your story?
Because before I knew there was actually a framework or a structure, it felt daunting to me. You know, I was an executive director of two different nonprofits before I started consulting and working alongside nonprofits, as well as way back in the beginning, a volunteer and a community trainer of other volunteers. And without a story framework or understanding why you're telling a story, it's confusing. And so then you on more than you need to, and people can't remember what you told them. And our attention span's even shorter now than it was back then. That was in the 90s, right? All that stuff's going on, volunteering. So it's important to know your story so that when someone just says to you, hey, Nadine, so why are you on the board of this organization, that you know, you feel it, you know it, it's not fake,
right?
But you own it. And so if you already know that, it just helps you have open doors. It makes for confidence, and it broadens, you know, sometimes, and this is, some folks may relate to this, they are the head of the organization, whether that's the head of the board or the actual executive or front person for the organization. And there can be this feeling like, I have to be at everything. I'm the person people relate to. But once people can embrace your story, the reach of your organization and the visibility and the connection, really going back to what you said about heart, grows, it expands, and that really helps sustain the organization over time.
Yeah, I love that. And I think two things really stood out when you were sharing is the framework, right? When we talk about the art of storytelling, there's an actual methodology, right? There's actual method in how you tell a powerful story. Anyone can tell a story, but how do you draw people in? How do you make them lean in? And for nonprofits, how do you get them to actually give you their money, right? There's an art to it. There's a framework to it. So I love that you talk about, when it comes to storytelling, don't just tell a story, but understand the framework of what a powerful story is. The other thing that really stood out for me was the founder. A lot of times, especially with nonprofits, since we're talking mainly about nonprofits, there's a founder story, why they started the organization. You know, usually it's a personal story. Like, for example, I went to a recent nonprofit charity event, and the person who was the speaker was the president at the time, but she told the founder's story, that the founder went through a hard part in life where she was at a pantry and had to get food for her kids. Da, da, da. She told that story. It wasn't her story, but it was the founder's story. So it really was a way to pull us in, pull the audience in, pull the donors in, right? By sharing the founder story, the person who actually started the organization, right?
Well, what you described is like an origin story. And it's one of the most powerful stories, because what it does is it starts helping folks relate, like you said, it helps them relate to the organization, you know, and that origin story connects people to you and your heart. So even though it wasn't her story, you knew the heart of that founder, what was driving that person, what their challenge was, and ultimately what they chose to do about it.
And yeah.
So that's why it's powerful, because it can resonate down through other people. And it does really, when we can tell a story, that person could have said, you know, over the past X number of years, we've provided food to this many people. Mm-hmm. That's nice. It's numbers, right? But when you can add emotional story, that people can go, okay, this is why that matters. It increases retention of the information and the ability for that person to tell it to someone else, because we are emotionally connected.
Yeah, I agree. It reminds me of that saying that stats tell, stories sell. Have you heard that saying? Yeah. Statistics tell, it tells something, but stories actually sell you on it. And it really is that emotional heartstring. So I love that too.
Well, that's both, right? There's some people who want all the stats, or they're not going to believe your story. Mm. And then people who are just so heart connected, they don't really care about the stats. They want to know about the people. So it's not one's better than the other, but blending them is the sweet spot.
Yeah, I love that. So true. So true. So your topic and your title for your talk is Storytelling as Strategy, Standing Out in a Crowded Sector. So tell us a little bit more about what you mean by storytelling as a strategy and standing out in a crowded sector.
Well, so I just told you how many nonprofits exist. And depending on where you live and how dense the population is, the likelihood of you've got a lot of competition. Now, I live in what would be called a medium-sized city, suburban area, right? Even so, we have hundreds of nonprofits here. And so if I said, if someone needed, like you were given the example of the food pantry or food organization, right? There are multiple places here. It gets confusing. Like, isn't that so-and-so's organization, or who's doing this? And when you go to funders, they can become confused about, well, are you duplicating this person? So the story lets them know, depending on what your purpose of the story is, it lets people know who you're serving and the impact you're having. And, you know, when I've done evaluation with organization and we look at the impact they have, one of the most powerful things to do is take, here's what we're doing by the numbers, and be able to shortly, very succinctly, tell somebody that. It's also one of the biggest gripes funders had. I did a research project for an organization, paid me to do this with their major funders. But ask them, you know, what is it about funding this organization? Why do you like doing it? What are your concerns? All this. I learned a lot. And one of the things they said is, you know, what bugs us when we fund organizations is they'll tell us, we're the only one who does this. We're the best, right? And he says, we fund people. We get applications all the time. We know who's out there doing it. What we want to know is, how are we going to get our dollars to go farther to improve whatever your cause is, right? Mm-hmm. So having an impact story, having an origin story, and then having a story about community, like how what you did impacted one group, but then that had a ripple effect. Those are three very powerful stories that organizations can have on hand there's multiple examples of them. It's not just a single story, but you can start with one. And in terms of strategy, if you have one story and you're communicating, that story goes in many places. It can go on communication. It can be part of an annual giving piece, but it has multiple uses so that you've got a consistent voice across your organization. And not like we only say these things, but here's what we can tell you about our impact. You know, the origin story is the origin story. It's not, you're not going to make up a new origin story. However, someone can tell it better. But it is what it is. So you might as well blink on the heart of it. But to be able to tell an impact or a community, you know, impact at an individual, family, whatever, but then how that has impacted a community. So it goes on beyond, think of it as kind of a community or a legacy story beyond the organization, makes you basically, in the coldest of terms, a good financial investment, right? Gotcha. I know I'm giving you my money. I know you're having an impact. You're telling me, you're showing me, I've got data, I've got real life stories. Oh, and look at this, that person, because they're now in a better space or whatever, has now done something different in the community, or other partners have come involved and our community has changed as a result of it, depending on the kind of organization you are. So it's super important, and it's very strategic to have a story. And I didn't realize it when I was first doing, when I was first leading a nonprofit. But then I heard our origin story over and over. I wasn't the first executive director of it, but I'll tell you what, that origin story, still the same origin story. And it has provided that through line for the organization after numerous executive changes over the past 40 years, 45 years.
Yeah, I love that. So I love how you broke it down into the framework of stories, right? The origin story, the impact story, and then the community, I think you said slash legacy, so community or legacy story. But I also love to share examples. Like, so I'm going to put you on the spot, Sarah, and I know you've worked with tons of nonprofits. So it could be an imaginary one. It could be a client, a prior client, however you feel led. Let's break it down for the audience as in short version. This is an example of the origin story for the same organization. This is an example of an impact story for the organization. And then this is a story of a community slash legacy story for the organization. What would that look like for ABC company, or however you feel led to share the examples?
Okay, so I can do that. I want to make sure I've got the same from all the organizations. And I think I have a mix of them for you, but they're distinct enough that I think it will fill what you're asking. So let's do.
And I did put her on the spot, guys. I did put her on the spot.
I had a slightly different prep, but it achieves still what you're talking about, right? Yep. So the first example is with this gal. She is from the Dansbury School District and Business Connection. So she's part of the school district. This is in Connecticut. And she runs what in many areas would be called a business partnership for mentoring high school kids. But I asked her, I said, so what's the deal? How did this start? How are you involved? So the school said, we saw students falling through the cracks, and we knew mentorship was that bridge. One caring adult showing up weekly became the start of a life-changing thing. And that was why they started it. That then brought in the business community, because she made it so simple that people said, well, once a week, and they do this over lunch, right? So it's once a week, an hour. So your total commitment is 13 hours over a 6-month period. Very small. But now these businesses have joined, and it's very successful. And it's grown, and they're actually expanding it into other high schools in another state. So, but it was that spark of seeing that they were seeing kids fall through the cracks, even though we're providing education. They just needed 1 hour, and the person wasn't there to tutor them. They were there to listen and be a mentor, just to listen and see that child. So, but then a different origin story was, oh, let me look at Brian. So Brian Grasso, he owns Simple Charity. Now, his origin story started when he was 12 years old. And he went on a trip to Kenya with his family. And it was the first time he'd been out of the States. And he saw global poverty. That it just wasn't part of his world of his 12 years so far. And he said it really impacted him. And when he got back home, he started a club at school that raised $61,000.
Wow.
And he learned. So, and they use that. They sent it actually over to Africa and working with folks in Kenya. But what he learned as a result of that was some of the charities needed vetting. He looked at other organizations. So then he started Simple Charity because he wanted to provide a way for other people like him as he became an adult. He started all this when he was 18.
Wow.
He wanted them to know that if they were, quote unquote, investing in charities, that they were reliable. But he wanted people to invest.
Right.
So it's part of it. So that was his origin story of going to Kenya and seeing global policy, poverty, and then coming back and saying, I got to do something about it at 12 years old. And I'm thinking 61 grand at 12 years old. Well done.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, so this gal, Thana Hickman Simmons, she runs Viola House in Texas. I was super moved by her because she said as a teen mom, she knew what mothers in Dallas were facing because she was a teen mom herself. So she started Viola's House with one apartment and two beds. Period. That was it. But she started, and that it has grown. You know, it's grown. It's big, 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 big now. And she's partners with everybody on other services for the young moms and the kids. But that was her. She knew, and she said, "I knew how alone I felt, and I didn't want other young moms feeling alone. So I started this." She's very inspirational. So those are three kind of examples. Okay, so then, but that's their why. Why did it start? How did it start? But let's go on and talk about an impact story. First, when we talk impact, this goes into a little bit of evaluation language. Might be a little geeky, but I know nonprofits are going to understand this. So impact is what difference did it make? Not how many or how much, but how much change was the result. So it highlights how one person or a family was transformed through your work. Because you want to make the results tangible.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm thinking as you're saying, it's more of like the how, like how they do the work. Like the why is the origin story, and maybe the impact is the how, right? The numbers on the how.
Yes. Think of the
to an
how.
Extent.
Yeah, it makes sense. Think of the how as a quadrant, right? So in the upper left quadrant, you have so you're talking about how many you served or how many, how much. So we served this number and say, let's just stay with food because it's an easy thing to go. We served 500 families in this time period and we distributed X pounds of food, all types of whatever. So then you're talking about impact. It's like the quality of it. We did it with a good schedule. So you're thinking more process. We were on time. We were in the same place every week. We were dependable. So that's talking about the organization. Very important, right? But the impact is because of that, this number of families, their health improved, their nutrition improved. I mean, it depends on what you're measuring for your organization. But the impact is families didn't miss a meal. Their kids got three meals a day, you know, or they ate school lunch every day, because there's so much stats out there about where nutrition's falling off. There's food deserts. That's a moving thing to be able to say how many kids are eating better. And we're all in the health thing now. Like, what are you feeding them, junk food?
Right.
No, we distribute all this food, but I wouldn't eat the food.
Exactly. Full of sodium, fried, all the bad things.
No vegetables, no fruits. But so think about it like that. So impact, you're wanting to stay in how well. And what change? I always think of impact as change. How did it change that family's life? Did it free them up to be able to pay their rent because they weren't having to scrimp and save? Or could they buy medicine that they couldn't buy before because they had to choose? Do we feed our kids or do we buy the medicine that our kid needs? So, I mean, real life hard choices for folks. So it's really knowing your services. But impact, let me just give you an example. Here's an impact. This is a single individual, and the organization is Prison Alliance.
Okay.
The director is Tim Currington. And in our conversation, he said, one man told us, so they distribute Bibles in prisons. And a lot of the folks in prisons, they've been written off. You know, they're not the best in terms of like you want to hang with them. But this one man told them that the Bible study that they started doing in the prison was the first time he believed he wasn't alone behind the walls. And that story inspired them to scale the digital discipleship, because before they were just distributing, but then they started doing digital discipleship so that the, you know, they partnered with the prisons and were able to do that. That also then spread to other countries. And they're doing that, but very novel ways. You know, they're doing this because they have a distribution in the States. Doesn't happen that way. He says, oh yeah, we've got people showing up, like traveling. And I can't remember if it was Kenya or it was an African country, but they just, they took the premise, but they adapted it to the country. But they, the whole thing was the same. It was giving discipleship.
Right.
But it's also that it changed that man's life, and he's now leading these in prison.
Yeah.
So that's
I love
an
that.
Impact that also kind of went to the community level a little bit.
Yeah, it's like results, but also ripple, because a lot of the examples you shared was not just the immediate results. Like you said, in the food pantry example, it's 50 pounds of food distributed, however many families affected. But the ripple of that, someone being able to go to school and you know, have better education because they have a full belly or whatever the case may
Right.
be.
They can pay attention.
They
Well,
can
I always
pay
think of it as
attention.
the so what question, right? We did, we distributed 50 pounds of food. So what? So what? That's
Exactly.
great. Pat yourself on the back. So what? Well, I'll tell you, so what? Every single one of those kids, their grades went up, you know, or they weren't sick so much, or truancy changed. I mean, depending on your community, it could be a variety of things.
Love that.
Yeah, I felt really, it sounds brutal when you say so what, but that's what people are saying in the back, in their voice inside their head, they're going, so what? You know?
Exactly. No. Yeah, I get it. It's like almost saying why five levels down. Like you can start with a surface why on something. And they said, okay, but why? And then it goes deeper. And then you say, but why again? And then it goes deeper. And then about five levels down, you're getting to the root of the issue. You're getting to the true why and not the surface level. So I feel like with that, so what, it's telling the deeper story. It's telling the deeper impact. It's telling the deeper result. So it is a valid and important question to say, so what, right?
So, but let me share then with that in mind, with the impact and going all those layers down. So we were talking about Viola's house, right? That young mom, she's not a young mom anymore because she's been doing this work for some long time. But she said that one mother, because of her, you know, that's time limited, they're there with her for, she said, hopefully 6 months, not longer, but if they need to adapt, they will. But one mother not only found housing, but also diapers and life skill support. And so now they, because of that, and they know that that matters, they now distribute 6 million diapers a year. And they have become, the organization has become Dallas County's largest provider. But that mom, think about that. She got a little bit of housing, she got diapers, but then she got stable and was able to go out on her own, find her own space, take care of her baby, and stay in school. Because Thana's whole thing is she really wants young moms to be able to stay in school.
Yeah, it's definitely that ripple effect. I love it. So we talked about the origin story, the impact story. The last story is the community story or legacy. So tell us a little bit more example-wise about community slash legacy.
So a community story basically shows how your work sparked broader change in the community, right? So it illustrates that ripple effect that you were talking about beyond that single person. So great. I now, Sam in at Viola's house, and I've been served, and I'm out there, and my kid's doing great. And I'm done. I was served. She really helped me get squared away. And now I'm a mom doing my thing. However, one of the examples, we'll go back to the Danbury School District. So she talks about how their weekly mentorship, that 1 hour, didn't just help one student. It became a movement where schools, families, and businesses joined together. So now it's not just that one-off program. It's something people count on now. It's there.
Yeah.
Every, They match people, but it became a movement. And then again, with Brian, let me see, I think I have Brian here. So he was the guy who went to Kenya, started all that. So what he started doing was he started blending research with local co-created approaches, making sure the nonprofits were good investments, helping, think of it as a financial advisor for supporting nonprofits. They were able to adapt to cultural norms. So philanthropy became not just charity, but a transformation. It became something people did because that's their culture in their family, in their community. It wasn't like, okay, that's a tax write-off or to do this.
Yeah.
Part of their life.
Yeah. Like their legacy. And,
exactly. But it wasn't just the legacy of his organization. People owned it, right? Oh, yeah. No, we support this organization, or we get in, maybe we do Habitat for Humanity. That's our legacy. We get involved. But it went beyond just those few people out. And so other people, it spreads out, and then you're going, oh, who do you donate? Oh, well, we're involved in this, you know, this is, you can tell. And here's how we know it's a good, stable organization who actually does what they say they do in their mission.
Yeah, I love that, because then it's about supporting certain causes. It's more of like, this is my mission to support these particular causes. So having that, I love the word that you used, movement, that goes beyond just that organization or just beyond that immediate impact of those people being served by that organization, to becoming a movement in the community and a legacy for people to continuously support that mission. And guidance. So I love that.
Well, and
so.
not touting Thana's horn too much. That was one of the things, you know, they went through major funding challenges too, like a lot of nonprofits during the pandemic and earlier back and when we had the housing crisis. But despite that, she really worked on diversifying her income streams. And that caused her to engage partners more. It changed how she worked and engaged partners. And so they have gone from being that, manage that little small apartment with two beds. They are not now the hub for families and nonprofits. And so they become that hub where people come, other nonprofits come to say, well, how do you do that? How come you didn't go under when this happened? Right. Mm-hmm. She's super adept financially and strategically. And she says, Sarah, sometimes you just have to make the hard decisions, but you don't make them in a way that hurts your families. You plan ahead. I'm thinking, you are so smart. Where were you when I was running a nonprofit? but she really thinks about legacy. And when they had the pandemic, all kinds of things, she goes, you know what? I couldn't hire people. We couldn't do stuff. She goes, I called all my friends and family and the people who had supported us before, and we just pulled together. She goes, but because she'd done that work ahead, people knew who she was, knew the origin, knew her impact, people show up. Yeah, and that's part of having a story that you tell. You know, it's not just a one and done. You have to let people know.
Yeah, and that's the whole sharing aspect of sharing your story. There's the art of how you tell it, which we just broke down the framework of the origin story, the impact story, and the community / legacy. But now it's a matter of making sure that you're sharing these, you know, in the community, in the different spaces and places. So I love what you shared with us as far as the framework for storytelling within a nonprofit. And like you said, that could apply to a profit as well, even though we're focused more on the nonprofits. And I love the actual real life examples. As much as I put you on the spot, I was like, just make up an imaginary company. No, you went a step further and said, hey, here's some real life examples that I can share with you guys. So I love that you shared that when it comes to storytelling as a strategy and standing out in a crowded sector.
So I know that this is audio, but if people want to just quickly take a pen, I'm going to tell you four things you can do. Like to say, check yourself, right? So it's every story has these four beats to it, if you will. So if you think about it, you can ask yourself the question, who is the human or the actor in the story? Like, who is at the center of the story? What is the problem or the challenge? And then what action or solution occurred? Right? What happened? What was the impact, if we could use that language? And then what broader impact followed? So if you think about, if you can tell those things, just tell them to yourself on like a short piece of paper, not a lot of words. And then you can tell it in an engaging way, you know, depending on who you're talking to. It's like, well, I want to tell you about so-and-so, you know, and when this happened to her, she went to such and such an organization, and this is what they did with her, alongside her. Her life's totally different now, and this is what she's doing. That's those four things right there.
Yeah, I love it. I love that also framework of telling the story, right? We learned the different types of stories, and now the framework of actually telling the story. And I feel like I really have to share also the video side of things, because I know your company does a lot of work in helping people tell their story through video. So really quickly, why do you feel it's important as a nonprofit, as a profit, to even have like a video of your story? Because we talked about sharing your story, but sometimes it can be shared in different ways with different people, but keeping it consistent by having an actual video that shares your story. Give our quick thoughts around videos when it comes to storytelling, mainly because you do a lot of that in your business. So I wanted to share about
people.
That.
You know, when we see things, we and depending on how you process information and all that stuff, some people are more visually oriented than others, but it helps us link something. So if you tell me a story and I'm sitting by the campfire when you tell me that, I'm going to remember it differently than if I'm just hearing it. However, if we use video, people go, oh, I see Nadine. Mm-hmm. Okay, I kind of like her vibe, and she's telling me this. I trust what she's saying. Oh, and by the way, she shows up consistently, or her staff shows up consistently. When I reach out, I know there's going to be a friendly face for me there. It's different than having, and it, you know, I will say with video, it does not have to be a big deal. You could take, okay, everybody listening to this, there is a recording of this that Nadine has. She could take this recording, chop it up in a bunch of different ways, and put it out there on how to support strategic storytelling in 10-second intervals, right? We've talked for less than an hour. That's a year's worth of content that you could pull out of there on a drip basis. So it doesn't have to break your bank. It doesn't have to be really crazy difficult. It can be done on Zoom and iPhone and Android. And, you know, a lot of, I won't say the kids, but, you know, there's a lot of tech out there that makes it easy to edit. And it's important for folks to, you know, say you have board members, right? And you're talking, here's a list of our board members. I'd rather hear a board member. Here's why I commit to this organization. Yeah. 30 seconds. It's not that much, but people get to know you.
Exactly. I love it. And like you said, it could be shared on social media, on different platforms. So just taking that long interview, and it doesn't have to be a big production. Like you said, you don't have to go to a studio and have a professional, as much as Sarah and her team does an amazing job with professional videos, right? It doesn't have to be that fancy to get the story across. And you can chop up that Zoom recording or whatever recording, so you can have stories to showcase and share throughout the year, right? And not just that one time and that one video. So I love that tip. So thank you, Sarah, for giving us that tip. And before we end, I would love for you to share, what one thing would you suggest to someone to step into the power of their story? So we talked a lot about the art of storytelling and the strategy of storytelling. But if someone is hesitating even stepping into their story, you know, what one thing would you suggest to someone to actually step into the power of their story?
I'm assuming everybody hearing this is a nonprofit. Same if you own your business. You need to tell your story, because your customers, your clients, they can't find you if you don't. You can advertise all you want, but they can't find you, and they can't decide if you are who can help them reach their objective or improve or whatever. So if you're not telling your story, you are depriving people of the help you could provide them.
I love that. So if you want to reach more people, if you want to resonate with more people, you need to be telling your story. So don't be afraid to step into the power of your story, so you can reach more people and people can learn more about the work that you do in the world. That was great, Sarah. Now, I'd love for you to share how people can actually connect with you if they really want to step into storytelling for their nonprofit, for their organization. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
The easiest way is to go to my website, sarahbox.com. There's a contact form there. You can fill that out and send it to me. Or just email me, sarah@sarahbox.com, and write Storytelling Summit in your subject line, so that I know why you're reaching out or who you are, that you were part of this great event that Nadine's put together.
Thank you so much, Sarah Box, for being a part of the Power of Your Story Summit.
Thank you for listening to this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. If you haven't already, be sure to listen to the daily prayer at the top of the page and make sure you check out the daily challenge. The challenges are specific to each category and are located at the bottom of the page. Are you thinking that you won't be able to listen to, learn from, or enjoy each of the 24 interview sessions? No worries. Simply upgrade to the Power of Your Story All Access Premium Pass. You'll get lifetime access to all 24 recordings, plus the Power of Your Story swag bag worth over $2,555. There's no better time than right now to create and promote your story and skyrocket your business, and you'll have access to the tools you need forever. Click the link to upgrade right here on the page. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the next speaker.